This is Day to Day. Coming up, actor Michael Caine on Hanging Out with John Wayne, sharing the stage with Harold Pinter, and slipping into a new role in the adaptation of his old film, Sleuth. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Alex Chadwick. First, former Vice President Al Gore, almost President Al Gore, now Nobel Peace Prize winner Al Gore. And the question is, how will he use this latest achievement? Joining us is NPR news analyst Juan Williams, a regular Friday guest. Juan, hello again.
Hello, Alex.
So here's the question. Mr. Gore has the spotlight, if ever there's a moment to make a surprise late entry into the Democratic presidential race. This is it for him. I heard Ron Elving earlier on Morning Edition say there's no way he's going to do it this year. What do you think?
Oh, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, there is a strong draft Gore movement in place right now. I don't know how many people may have seen it, but they literally bought a $65,000 ad in the New York Times earlier this week asking Gore to run, in addition to which they've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they've got organizational structure all over the country. My friend Donna Brazil, who was his campaign manager back in 2000, always says that she holds a lot in reserve because there's so many people that feel he was cheated out of the 2000 election. And there's this sense that, you know what, although the Democratic feels pretty strong, there are a lot of people who worry about their ability, especially Hillary Clinton's ability, to defeat the Republican in the general election. All of that would point toward Al Gore.
Well, you know, he has said repeatedly, look, I'm not going to do this. This is not something that I want to do. Maybe he'd like to be president. I don't think he wants to go through the campaign process. But this has to make his endorsement even more valuable, don't you think? And I wonder, in that context, is there anyone he could endorse other than Senator Clinton?
Oh, I think so. You know, in fact, there's been some distance. Now, obviously, there's a sense of debt. President Clinton, Bill Clinton, made him his vice presidential pick. But there's been a sense of distance and some static even going back to the 2000 election, and that's resulted in the past week, in anticipation of the Nobel announcement, inside Hillary Clinton's campaign about exactly what does Al Gore represent, how significant a challenge would he be if he got in the race. And you've had people at the very highest echelons of the Clinton campaign saying, if he got in, here's what we'd have to do to beat him. And what they're principally banking on is the fact that people would feel that, you know what, he's not being loyal to people who put him in place. And they would challenge him on that basis, that he's missed his time and this is her time. And so that's the way they're thinking about it. And, of course, they count on the fact they've already got so much more money in the bank, so much more structure in place.
Interesting that they're already talking to reporters about what we'd do to take this guy out if he wanted to get in.
Well, you know, it was a conversation that was sparked in my mind by the Nobel possibility, and I didn't have any trouble engaging them on it.
Let me turn to something else. There's an NPR national survey out this morning that tells a familiar story. The president's popularity continues on a downward trajectory, and more than two-thirds of Americans think the country's headed in the wrong direction. We've heard that. Nearly 70% of Americans disapprove of how Congress is doing its job, okay? No one likes generally what's going on with Washington. And nonetheless, Juan, it appears that Mr. Bush still holds an advantage over Congress. He's vetoed the state children's health insurance program. He's demanding that Congress reauthorize his NSA wiretapping program, and it looks like the Democrats are going to do that. And proposals to pass a tax to pay for the war so it's clear what it's costing, that's just going nowhere. How does President Bush continue to get away with acting like he's holding all the cards?
Well, you know what? It's very interesting to me in terms of the politics of the message, Alex, because what you see is that there is a powerful message out there that's being advanced by various interest groups. When it comes to the issue of something like funding the war, the pressure is on the Democrats to say, you know what, you Democrats, how dare you abandon our men and women who are out there fighting a war? How could you not fund young people who are out there putting their lives on the line, making the ultimate sacrifice? And that has had the power as a message of forcing the Democrats to back off any threat to cut funding, which is ultimately the only way that they could possibly stop the war, which, of course, is why their ratings are so low, because people feel, hey, they're not out there stopping the war, which is what some believe they were elected to do. They really have the numbers in terms of approval ratings and the public support on SCHIP. It's almost three-quarters of the American people who support it. They have the support on the war, but they haven't been able to somehow get by the president's steamroller.
NPR news analyst Juan Williams with us again on Fridays. Juan, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Alex.